Welcome to Kadampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kadampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you enjoy listening.
So in 2007, my teacher Geshe Kalsang, he gave some teachings at our annual International Summer Festival, where we kind of gather over the course of 1 or 2 weeks to get special teachings every year. In that particular festival in 2007, he was teaching on the topic of training the mind in compassion. And in that teaching, he talked about how we need to engage in some preparations for successful meditations in general, but especially meditations that we're using to actually change our mind. So meditations like what we just did, where we do breathing meditation, is very important for calming the mind and clearing the mind, but it doesn't exactly change the mind, right? It can reduce the noise, right? It can reduce the chatter, the volatility, the disquiet, but it doesn't really address the way we think and the way we view situations, the intentions we're holding, the ways we respond. So it's not a meditation that actually changes the mind. It's a meditation that we can say is a preparation for changing the mind. And so oftentimes when we approach different meditations, we kind of just jump to the meat of it. Like, okay, I'm gonna just meditate on love. Like, we want to just address the solution and just go right there. And we don't realize that there needs to be more of a process. If we look at where we are right now and where we want to go, then that if we're in a rush, we're going to expect ourselves to be somewhere without actually moving ourselves slowly in that direction. That it's a mental process to begin to move the mind in the direction of positive altruistic states of mind. And so we need to take time, even if we feel we don't have time, we need to take time to prepare well. So just like if you have a dish that you want to make, you take time to prepare it well. And you understand that the success of that dish depends upon those preparations. Like if you haven't prepared by, you know, making sure you have all the ingredients, and you start to make the dish and you realize you've forgotten a key 2 or 3 ingredients and you have to stop and you got to go to the store, then, you know, or you have to abort mission altogether because there's no way. Whereas if you've taken the time to prepare, you know, look in the cupboards, look in the fridge, look in the freezer, see, okay, yeah, I have everything I need. Or think, you know, there's a few things missing, I got to go get them. Then I'll begin to cook. Then usually the outcome's going to be good, isn't it? Far more likely than if those preparations aren't made. So in the same way, especially in these times where we find it very easy to feel discouraged, very easy to kind of give up on ourselves and different things we try, we need to prepare well. Because if we haven't prepared well, and then we're sort of trying to change our mind, we'll find ourselves not meeting with immediate success, and then thinking, okay, well, it's not possible for me, or thinking these techniques don't work. And so then we, you know, as we say, throw the baby out with bathwater, right? We end up kind of giving up when really we just didn't prepare the conditions for success in our mind. So in this 2007 teaching, Geshe Kalsang, he listed from the Train the Mind text by Geshe Tokawa, one of the first lines, which is advice from Geshe Tokawa that says, first learn the preliminaries. The first thing we do when we want to train our mind is we need to learn the preliminaries. The main point is in preliminary practice, we need to prepare things in order to make progress along our Lojong practice quickly and easily. So he said, traditionally, there are 4 things we prepare. 1, gaining the ability to control our distractions. 2, accumulating a great collection of merit. 3, purifying negativities. And 4, receiving the special blessings of Buddha. With these preliminaries done very correctly, everything professionally, then there's no problem in making progress in training the mind. So I wanted tonight to ask for us to emphasize the first of these, gaining the ability to control distractions. So when he taught on this, he made a few points that I wanted to read. He says, we should know that with distractions, we cannot accomplish any aim, either spiritual or worldly. So whether we're interested in meditation as a tool for spiritual progress or spiritual development, or we're interested in meditation just to improve our worldly life, this is still key advice, our ability to overcome or control the distractions. And I think we know this because more and more we all feel that we suffer from distractions, inattentiveness. It's hard to keep our focus, hard to remember things. And we can see that it impacts what we're doing, you know, the quality of what we're doing, whether it's spiritual activity or just a mundane routine daily activity. If we're distracted, we can see the impact it has. So he says here, with a distracted mind, we cannot accomplish anything, either spiritual or worldly. Our listening to, reading, contemplating, and meditating on Dharma in general, and training the mind in particular, has no power if we engage in them with distractions. So there's an example given in the teachings on listening to Dharma teachings or Buddhist teachings. Different faults we try to overcome when listening. And one related to distraction is the example of being like a leaky pot. Being like a leaky pot. So if you have a pot that has a leak and you keep pouring liquid in it, it keeps leaking out. It can't hold the liquid. So in the same way, if we can't control distractions, our mind is like a leaky pot. So we can have a lot coming into it and we're not holding any of it. You know, so we can listen to a lot of teachings or information. We can contemplate a lot of things, you know, meditate a lot of things. And then it leaks out. We forget. We forget those things. And so then we're not able to contain or hold those experiences, especially spiritual experiences, because we forget. So often we're inspired. Maybe we're reading something, we're doing a meditation, we're hearing a teaching. We feel inspired about something that resonates with us. We think, yeah, I want to do that. We can see how it would really improve our daily life, our relationships with others, our way of living. And we think, okay, yeah, I really want to do this. And then 6 hours later, completely forgotten. I'm being generous when I say 6 hours later. Might even be like an hour later. Completely forgotten. And then we're doing what we did before. And we think, why am I doing this? Why am I so aggravated? Why am I being so mean? Why am I being so impatient? And it's really just for the simple reason that we forgot. Is this that we lacked mindfulness? We forgot. Why? Because we got distracted. So this is why this preparation is so key. We have to start really with this ability to overcome distraction. And then he gives the example of spiritual practitioners, Dharma practitioners, people who practice Buddhism. He says, until now, many people practice Dharma with distractions, and so then their practice has little power. Because of this, they never gain familiarity with Dharma practice. And their daily problems are never solved. They continue to experience problems and discouragement. And then eventually they give up completely. This is all because of the inability to overcome distraction. With distractions, we cannot accomplish anything. So if we really want to take great meaning from Dharma, we must learn to control our distractions by making a strong determination to forget the objects of our distractions. The objects of distraction, such as attachment, anger, and ignorance. So there's going to be a method he's going to propose here that I'm going to share on how to overcome distractions. But I think that this is the first step, is we contemplate some of these points of the dangers of distraction, and we become determined. So when we're determined, we're very powerful. So we often don't use determination as a tool, especially in the sort of genre of our spiritual life or in things like meditation, but it's really key, being determined. So if we make a determination not to be distracted, to forget the objects of distraction, we will. So say you're distracted by something, like say you're in the middle of having a conversation with someone, but there's something happening over here that's interesting. you know? I don't know if like a dog is chasing a little kid and it's cute, or, you know, there's some sort of delicious food wandering by. But if say you care a lot about the person that you're talking to, and they're sharing something that is maybe very sensitive to them, a problem they have, some vulnerability they feel, then even though there's a potential to get distracted, you might make a determination. This is not the moment to be distracted, right? This person is sharing something with you that's important to them. And so you will find an ability just through the force of that caring about that person to be determined, I'm not going there. I'm going to sit and I'm going to listen to this person. And you'll let that, you know, food go by or that puppy and child wander off. Like, you won't follow it, right? You'll be able to hold your focus on that person that you're sitting with. How? Just through determination. So this is something we need to use when it comes to distractions. We need to be determined not to follow distractions. They'll come. Right? That's natural. They'll come. It's just a determination not to follow them. Like, we're deciding, okay, they've come, but I'm not following you. I'm not going to follow you. Like, we don't trust a distraction. We're not going to let it take us anywhere. Because the way distractions work is, if we don't give them our attention, they disappear. You just like a water bubble that arises within water and then pops at the surface and dissolves back into the water from which it arose. Same thing. The distraction arises, but we don't give it any attention. We don't give it any fuel. It can't remain. It has no life. It will eventually just dissolve. It's just a matter of whether or not we follow it. So if a distraction, if we follow it, we give it our attention, then it can take us all kinds of places. Right? So this is where I think he's making another point here, which is a strong determination, not just to not get distracted, but a strong determination not to follow objects of distraction. Objects of distraction. So we need to get to know, what are the objects of my distractions? So is it, you know, he's proposing here, most commonly distractions we get really invested in are things that we're attached to, outcomes we're attached to, people and experiences we're attached to, you know, wishes that we're desperate to have fulfilled, that those become objects of distraction, objects of attachment. Also anger, something that's angered us, can be a huge source of distraction. We can put so much energy into something we're angry with or frustrated by. And again, it can completely take us out of the moment that we're in or the thing that we're doing. Just one mind of anger that we've chosen to follow completely distracts us from what we're doing. Or ignorance. So ignorance meaning just sort of an unknowing of the dangers of following different distractions, where they're going to take us. So we're just ignorantly following them, because many distractions, although they seem benign, often lead us to disturbed mental states. So they start off sort of neutral, but if we follow them, they take us somewhere negative. So say you start off just being distracted by tomorrow's to-dos, you know, and you're just thinking to yourself, I'm in the middle of meditation tonight, hopefully not, but say, middle of meditation tonight, you're thinking about what has to happen tomorrow morning. And you're thinking, oh, you know, I got to make lunch. You know, I got to set up a few things for my family or for the weekend. I got to take the trash out to the curb, take the recycling out to the curb. I got to remember when I get home to bring it back in. And then before we know, yeah, because my roommate never does that. They said when they moved in, they were going to do that. But they never do. They forget every time, even when I put a reminder, even when we had to just, and then before we know it, started off as just a distraction, right? But before we know it, we're going down the path of resentment and frustration. And then we can end up, if this is happening in, say, our meditation tonight, having a meditation on, I'm going to tell them again. When I get home, actually, we're going to do it together. I'm going to make them walk that thing out there. We're going to have a conversation about it. Like, before we know it, our meditation is spent entirely fixated with some form of retaliation over a to-do of tomorrow. And so the opportunity we had to meditate and familiarize our mind with something peaceful or positive was lost. It was lost. That time is gone, right? We spent it ruminating on our frustrations. And so, and we're no better for it, right? It's not like we leave that, oh, I feel better now. It's like, no, now we're primed. We're on the attack. We're ready to express our anger and frustration towards who we think is the cause of it. So in those cases, there's an ignorance there, right? It started off seeming, oh, it's not so bad. But because distractions are sort of like a magnet for disturbance or a magnet for delusion, very quickly, if we follow them, they take us to negative states of mind, uncontrolled, unpeaceful states of mind. So this is the first step that Geshe Kelsang is proposing, is we need an overarching determination. I want to overcome my distractions, control my distractions. But more specifically, what that means is I need to be determined not to follow the objects of my distractions. The objects of my distractions. Whether they seem innocent, whether it's very clear they are things that are disturbing. We need a decision. If this is what I'm focused on, then anything other than that is a distraction. The objects of our distraction, we have to be willing to let them go. So a big practice of meditation really is a tool to learn to overcome distractions. You know, where we're trying to focus on something in meditation, and what we find is very natural, we shouldn't ever feel discouraged by this, is that a chunk of our meditation is spent batting off distractions, right? And over time, as our concentration improves, then that will happen less and less. So the distractions will be less loud, right? The volume will be turned down on them. They're there, but they're not so loud. They're not in the forefront of our awareness. They're starting to fall into the background. A little bit like how parents can do with kids. Like, they hear their kids making noise, but they kind of don't. Right? It's not enough to stop them from doing what they're doing. They're able to focus on what they're doing, but they hear their kids in the background. So that will start to happen with our distractions, where they'll start to kind of be in the background. They won't be so loud, or they won't be so incessant or frequent. You know, that when we're setting off to focus on something, the distractions that we face are not just incessant flow. That maybe we have one distraction, we decide not to follow it, and then we have a lull, right, where we're able to just focus. And then another one pops up, and we're able to kind of bat it away, and we're able to focus, versus this constant, you know, barrage of distraction. They become less frequent.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.